salut. Oh oui, that's Nature Intended.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
Can we see by the one light in all our earth to embrace at the call of all nations, where our children can play in a world without war, where we stand in the grace of creation, where the rivers run clean through the forests of green, where the cities stand tall in the clear skies of freedom. Oh, say do our hearts sing out for harmony and love forever on the planet of our birth, blessed with peace.
Dancing by Stephen Longfell Fisk. Visit his website at fiskmusic.com.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic on bbsradio.com.
Oh, the hen said, "Quack, quack, you are out of luck if you want scrambled eggs upon your plate." So the eggs hatched chickens and they ran like the dickens. If you want scrambled eggs,
I have a cough today.
C-H-I-C-K-E-N. If you can't spell chicken, then we'll try it once again. C-H-I-C-K-E-N.
Chicken all the time. Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic on bbsradio.com. And yes, I haven't had my dental work done yet, so I'm tending to speak funny. Well, imagine you take out three quarters of your teeth out, and you go, bleh. Hey there. I can't really whistle either. So you might as well have fun, right? Let me take this off here. People send me music, songs, you know, for gardening and stuff, and I do appreciate it. You can always send it to me. If you know the name of it or who did it, even better. But they should be old enough to be out of the copyright field. And otherwise, I definitely want to have, like the Stephen Longfellow, first friend of mine. He's been on as a guest. I'm going to have him on as a guest again. So if you write music and you think your music is something we like to listen to, just send it to me along with the information, who you are and stuff like that. And if I like it, I'll play it. So today's my – let me tell you – start over again. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I'm better known as the Invisible Gardener. Today's show, I'm doing a series. You know, this is really online classes for me. I've been doing this since, I was going to say since the sixth grade. even though I kind of remember helping people in those from sixth or ninth grade, and then I went into the service. I went into the service and I got out in 70. I did junior college and stuff like that. But by that time, in 1970, I already had Invisible Gardener started. So I didn't do any really teaching in the sixth through ninth grade. Not that I remember, but maybe I did. You know, you teach by example. Anyway, today's topic is how to control verticillium wilt. Excuse me, organically. I have to stop eating. I don't eat bread anymore, so I'm trying to eat gluten-free bread. Not the same thing. And then I get clogged up for days afterwards just because I ate a little piece of gluten-free bread. Hi, Ray. So it's going to be on how to control verticillium wilt naturally, organically, without chemicals and stuff, even though it doesn't work chemically, right? And I want to announce that I don't know if I did it last week or not, but I think this is the first week. You're right. This is the first week of the month. So last month for June, we got a winner. His name is Ronald L. I don't usually give away. I don't tell people the last name. And I don't know where he's at. I can assume he's on planet Earth. But you know, when you enter the contest, all you have to say is Andy L. from whatever. So for me, it would be Malibu, California, right? For you guys, it would be Paradise, California. Or any, I like to have a city, please. That's cool. But for now, I'm going to say Ronald L. from Earth. I'm also assuming maybe USA. I don't know. Anyway, he won last month because he entered. He sent me emails saying, please, I listen to your radio show on Don't Panic, It's Organic on bbsradio.com. Or whatever other radio station you listen to, because this thing gets rebroadcasted all over the place on iTunes and you name the place, TalkShoe. I do TalkShoe. I've been doing that for many years. And this on my website. Just mention where you're listening to it from. Please enter me in the contest. That's one way to do it. That's not exactly the easiest for me, because then I have to enter you physically into the contest. The easiest way for me, and ideally the best, because there are lots and lots of people do it, I ain't going to do it. So right now it's okay because I get maybe, you know, enough for me to do it. But pretty soon I'll say, look, just go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, enter the new subscribe to get the free newsletter. In the newsletter, when you get the newsletter, you'll see enter me in the contest. You click on it and it's done automatically because the newsletter gets sent to a box. And then once a month I pick from that box. Because it's a newsletter, when you click on enter in a contest, I made it so that it's really an email. An email comes up, the subject's already filled, enter me in a contest, and all you got to type in is, you know, what station you heard it from. Click send. I get it automatically with my newsletter software, which plugs you into the contest automatically. And every, you can... You can enter as many times as you want to. Of course, you know you don't want to win a lifetime membership over and over again. But if you win once and you become, what will happen is I won't pick you again. I'll remember you. I have a very photographic memory. I'll try not to pick the same person again. And lately I have been picking it, but I might just go with some type of, I haven't figured out a way to do like a software that will pick it for you. You know, maybe I would print them out and give it to my cat, whichever ones he points to, something like that, I'll figure out. Anyway, you can enter as often because every month is right now I'm doing the lifetime membership. Well, for example, Ronald here, he wants the lifetime membership, which is it normally goes for $55 for a lifetime membership. You get my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, the $20 version of it. But he got the $100 version of it. And as a matter of fact, I'm writing a note here. I think I emailed you, Donald, Ronald. And you're supposed to be, you know, when you say enter me in the contest, you can, let's hope you're going to win, right? So why don't you just put your address on there? Because I don't have to ask you for the address again, okay? Just put your address in there. Say, please enter in your contest. Here's my address. I hope I win, right? That kind of stuff. I don't have it. I'll just send it to you. At the same time, you're going to get something in the email back. If you want, saying congratulations, you won, click here and follow the link, which allows you to become a member on my website, invisiblegardener.com. That's the way I would prefer you to do it. But I also, I really want to know who's listening to the show and how they are, entering the contest. And the newsletter, I think I'm going to have to come up with a way that will say radio show, so you can just click on that. But right now it has it automatically puts you into the contest. But on the newsletter, I'm going to do something that has to do with a radio show. So if you're listening to the radio show, you click on that. Click here if you're listening to the radio show. But you still need to say what station it is, okay, right? I'm getting all kinds of little ding things going on in my Mac. Oh, I know what it is. I love my Mac because it's every time I get a Twitter message, I'm getting lots of Twitter messages because they like the they like my Don't Panic It's Organic, show that's I'm doing today. Hey, very good. I like the timing. It's like it went right out. It's just the show, so it's live. So because it's live and I'm not dead, that means that you can call me now, because as I was telling you before, that you can get a free ebook. Because if you call me, I'm not sure how we're going to do this, because in order to get your ebook, I need to get your email address. I'll probably, if you call, the engineer will know, and maybe Mr. Engineer will get your email address and give it to me later on in the name of the end of the show. If nobody calls, that makes it real easy. But I figured anybody wants to call and talk to me, I guess send them a free ebook. I also do that, as I've been telling in the past shows, if you send me email, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Hey, I listened to the show. Great. If you have a question, if not, that's fine. You say, enter me in your contest and address and all that stuff. The email I can then forward and figure out a way to do it. But the way I really want to have it done is to go through the newsletter. Okay, so let's see. So I mentioned my the winner, right? Oh, next week we have a special coming on, and I'm a guest on the Entrepreneur Way, Neil Bell's Entrepreneur Way. When we highlight it, we'll give you links and everything so you can see what they've been doing out there. You can get their podcast. It's really cool. So I'll be on. I'll be rebroadcasting that interview. That's next week. After that, I don't have any. Boy, that's lots of people are retweeting. That's cool. I just have to remember it's not directly directed at me, and I don't have to answer it anyway. For July, I don't have any guests set up. Deborah is going to be out for a little bit having shoulder work, so I didn't want to have a guest on that didn't get all the good, carpet treatment care by Deborah. She takes real good care of my guests. She makes sure she gets all the information needed from them, and then does all the social stuff, gets the information out, because I want to tell people who's going to be on. And that's only fair. So you do it through all my massive social Twitter and Facebook followings and all that stuff. Make sure people are on. That way they can also. And speaking of which, I had Teresa Nicasio on. Teresa, I have your book called Yum, Plant-Based Recipes for a Gluten-Free Diet. I'm going to have to talk to you about this because it's a hardcover. Really, really nice. I'd like to have my book in hardcover. And it's really glossy photos and pictures. And it's really, really like a work of art. And it's really worth it. You can tell it's heavy. It's got a bee, herb-infused breakfast sausage. Lots of interesting stuff here that I'm going to have to start learning how to incorporate into my life. Because as I was saying before, I've been gluten-free for a while, but it's very difficult buying stuff out in the stores. It's like, holy cow. There's a special diet and allergy chart, which is really cool. I had my blood tested for allergies. And you should – interesting to what they say that I have allergic to, but it comes down to I'm allergic to yeast in bread. Yeah, and just to make a long story short, what happened was is that I bought ice. I don't eat ice cream, but we do the cooking it ice cream kind of thing, you know. And so as long I used to get it, you know, they still are. They'll say 100% organic and stuff. But last year or so, they have this variety called natural. They're natural, right? So natural used to be okay. It isn't anymore because natural, if it's not certified organic, that means that if your food says natural, then more than likely it has this GMO sugar. They have two types of GMO sugar now. The original GMO sugar, and now they have a new one called if you eat this you will die sugar, which they decided to call some really cool name, make it sound like, hey, that's good stuff, right? And they confuse you with all the different fructose and noctose and all these different things to confuse you. But basically, it's not organic. It's not a certified organic source of sugar. And anyway, I was eating it. The sugar produces more yeast and upsets my body. That's what caused the yeast allergy to yeast, because sugar goes nuts in yeast. You have this yeast, this sugar, that super-duper high fructose and super-duper sugar. Yeah, I want more sugar. Give me it. Okay, so... I'm gonna have to have you on again, and we can talk. You know, maybe you can come on like on a regular basis, Teresa, and maybe every once in a while, maybe you can. You know, when you come on, you can say today I'm gonna talk about, for example, spicy Thai lemongrass soup. Ooh, spicy Thai. I said Thai tonight. Thai lemongrass soup. That is really nice. And here are the ingredients. The ingredients looks nice. Everything would have to be totally organic or certified organic that I would buy, because I'm trying to. It's not easy. Even if you know what you're doing, it's not easy because, I don't go to restaurants anymore because I used to. And when I travel, you don't have any choice. You go in there and you say, do you have any organic coffee? They go, no, I'm in trouble. So I try to find an organic restaurant, but there aren't any. So I say, well, are these eggs organic? Are the eggs organic? We don't know. We want me to go talk to the chicken. What about, you know, so yeah, is it gluten-free? They go, well, I don't believe in gluten, that kind of stuff. Or yeah, it's gluten-free, but it really wasn't gluten-free. I mean, I go to a health food store, place to buy food, right? My vegetables and stuff. And they have a deli in the back. And I go in there and I say, because they would have fish and they would have like tofu and a bunch of other stuff. So I would say, is that fish gluten-free? And they say, yes. And I go home and I would eat it for lunch, and then I go home and I have a gluten headache. That's what happens if you stop eating gluten for about 2 or 3 days. And I go back and say, I had gluten headache. The lady says, well, the fish is gluten-free, but the sauce we're using wasn't. And I go, yeah. Well, anyway, so I'm going to have you back on, Teresa, so we can talk about Yum more. And I sent you my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, to Canada. Okay, so if you're listening, you're going to get it any year now, because I think you had your company send it to you, and I basically went to the post office to do it. But if I had done it through Amazon, they would have gone out right away, because they are my publisher. Anyway, let me do, let's see, what am I going to do now? Yeah. All right. So I already did the chicken thing, you know. That. I like this song. Okay. You people, I can read your minds. People go, wait a minute. Are you going to be talking about this verticillium wilt stuff or not? So fine. Okay, fine. Have it your way. I'll talk about it. Okay, so I told you, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I will say it again. The call number to call in is 888-627-6008. Okay, you can also use, since we use Skype, you can get online with us right now at BBS Radio PR. It's all lowercase. If you're nearby, you can call it on the direct line, 323-744-4831. And from now on, I'll just mention it right away. But if you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, invisiblegardener.com, click on radio show. I have the phone numbers on there also, so you can listen to my show on my website, which I love to do that. You can go to bbsradio.com and listen to it if you're a listener there. That's okay. But if you're my one of my followers, just go to invisiblegardener.com, click on the radio show button, takes you to the radio show. You can listen to it right there online. It has the phone numbers there. While you're there, you can sign up for my newsletter or get the podcast, because you also get the podcast free. Remember, you can sign up for the podcast either on my website or on bbsradio.com. Of course, you can sign up for my podcast anywhere. It's up on iTunes as well, a bunch of other different places, TalkShoe. They're all the same podcast. I prefer, however, if you do it through my podcast, because then I have some idea how many people are listening. Because right now, they're spread out all over the place. I have no idea how many people are listening on iTunes, and they won't tell me either. Okay. Anyway, verticillium wilt. Okay, so I talk a lot about, in my book, one of the things I do in my book is I try and emphasize the importance of healthy living soil. And I've been doing this a long time and giving not only a talk, but a radio show talk, but I also go to garden clubs, corporations that hire me to give a workshop. And so I talk a lot about the good guys and the bad guys don't live in the same place. And so I just basically told you the answer and how to control verticillium wilt. Okay? I just basically told you in the good guys and the bad guys don't live in the same. It's a small paragraph, right? And that is the key to everything. So, you know, if you know what verticillium wilt is, that means that you either have experienced it in your property, your trees have gotten it. Verticillium wilt attacks not just trees, but vegetables, flowers, right? A wide range of things. Here in Malibu, I've been seeing a lot of it happening to coral trees. There's a certain type of coral trees that's acceptable to it. And so people have been calling me, you know, like, for example, I'm doing two jobs right now. Where I also do lab testing, so I have to take the soil and send it off for the particular test to see if verticillium is present in the soil. I also will do a lab test to see what kind of biologicals is there. I pretty much only do those if I think there's not, you know, I need it, but because I can tell the biologicals are not there. But I will do a lab test on the minerals availability. Not so much for me. Just to show the owner, gee, see what I'm saying? There's nothing here. And so what happens is that, and, you know, a lot of people get it. And you hire an arborist, nothing wrong with arborists, but they are required by law to use the standard practices, which are chemicals and not organic so much. There is no organic treatment, so to speak, that you know of other than what I'm going to tell you, because what I'm telling you, my phone is buzzing. I have to stop. Oh, I'm getting all these announcements. It's really weird. Anyway, so so the trees here in Malibu, the coral trees are dying left and right. And one of the problems is this particular disease is attacking them. Now, one of the things people need to understand is how a disease happens in the first place, and then why the disease will spread to some plant or something, right? In this case, the coral tree. So we need to really understand why the coral trees are getting why the disease is attacking the coral tree. In other words, the disease thinks this is a good time to attack the coral tree for whatever reason the disease has, and I'll tell you about it later. And the coral tree, the other way around, the coral tree is giving out the vibes, I am really stressed out and really freaked out. And the more stressed out I am, the more freaked out I am. And then, yeah, the more stressed you are, the more you're going to get attacked by one pest or a disease, because that's the way Mother Nature does it. Remember the old saying about the six... I have to say this slowly. Sick sheep and the wolf, right? Well, the wolf isn't dumb. The wolf will look at and say, well, that sheep over there is not really up to par with the rest of the sheep. That's the one I'm going to go for. So it could be sick sheep. It could be weak sheep. It could be stupid sheep. It could be lazy sheep. It could be hungry sheep, right? Stressed out sheep. They get freaked out over something, right? stress the way it works is that I learned the key into stress a long time ago. Not so much, and it works on for humans, and it works the same thing on pets. It works things on. It's the same thing on plants. And what I tell people, the higher the stress, right? The higher the stress. I like writing things down as I talk to them. The greater the pest or the disease, right? Right? Greater the pest, so the higher the stress, the more stress how you get, you're going to get, the more the chances are of you getting one pest or a disease. Yeah, pests do attack humans just so like diseases do. And it's the same thing with plants. And so there's a relationship that I want to express to you about stress and diseases. And here's the tricky things, okay? Because I talk a lot about Brick's readings, okay? And I just this article that I wrote here on how to control reticulum wilt organically is available on my website, and you can read it. Plus, it's also on whatever publication I do the column for, okay? And I believe it talks briefly. Let's see, the word bricks. The word bricks should have shown up here. Gee whiz.
You mean Charlie, you did?
Let's see, I'm looking to see, because I should at least mention the word bricks once in the column. I should be the last guy to copy, to proofread my stuff, you know. Because I always, there's so much information, they don't give me that much time, that's why I have my book out, and that's also why I'm doing another one, which basically is going to take the last 7 years of my book and type it down into the top 100 or the top 1,000 days or something like that. I don't see where it said bricks. I messed up because I wanted to tell people the relationship, the reduced pH and the fertilize, deep watering, efficiency. Nope, didn't say anything about bricks. I'm going to take 20 points off my anyway, but so bricks is a measurement of a level of sugar in plants. It's used for based mainly in the wine industry, you know, bricks level for measuring the level of sugar in wine. Wine is determined by how sweet it is, you know, different brands of different sweetness, different stuff, right? It's also in beer making. You use a refractometer to measure the Brix level in beer making. A refractometer is also used in astronomy, in terms of determining the planets and what things are made up. Because a refractometer is the same thing; it refracts light and breaks it up into the different elements. So we use and it's also in the gardening business is actually used to measure the juice, right? The juice of the citrus or for example, the juice of tomato plants, the juice of apples, the fruit, right? Grapefruit, stuff like that, other than wine, you know. But so, and then you could through the understanding what level your Brix is at, right? You also translate that. I did. What level of minerals your plants are at? See, so I started reading about. When I started doing this in the sixth grade, I looked in my backyard and stuff like that. I realized, you know, what you give it, what it's eating is very important. So, and if there's nothing in the soil, how can it get anything out of the soil? You plant something and it's like, ooh, really bad. And fertilizers don't actually do very much for your soil. And so I keyed into compost right away, and I understand why we make compost. We make compost to help the soil, to build up the soil, to bring the soil back to life. And inside the compost is the microorganisms which actually do the work that we wanted to do, which is give it the food to the plants. See what I'm saying? So the Brix level is basically measuring. So in plants, when I read about, and this is nothing I made up, you know, this is stuff that I discovered along my way, but I've also been reading about it throughout my many years of doing this. And lots of people are doing this around the world in very different levels of it. So I just take it, you know, deal with it myself and learn. I'm a scientist. I develop all these things myself, you know. So I originally, I couldn't afford a refractometer because it was very expensive. That I think I have it right here. Yeah, this refractometer, it's actually a Reichert, Reichert. Okay, and so it's a goes at the time when it first came out, it was around $3,000 or $4,000. This was sent to me as a gift because I was doing my radio show in 1970. I was talking about, okay, so I want to give minerals to plants. I figured minerals was what we need. Minerals is what the human body needs. Animals need minerals. Plants need minerals. Trees need minerals. You know, all diseases are because of trace mineral deficiency. Same thing in your body. You have a trace mineral deficiency in your body, you're going to get a disease or a pest. I have another show called The Body in the Garden, where I have doctors come on. We talk about the body and how it correlates to the garden, because the biome, the microorganism in your stomach, evolved from the soil. We evolved, you know, over millions of years, we decided we're going to have a skin and walk away from the soil. But we evolved from the mycelium. It's our great ancestors. Anyway, where was I? Minerals, see? So right off the bat, I learned about rock dust. And I learned about rock dust because I was lucky enough to run across a really cool old man. And I still remember his name is Ebersol. I remember in Florida where I lived. I grew up in Hialeah, Florida. That's near Miami, Florida. I would I would get my dad to drive out to the country, because we used to go out in the country anyway and buy fruit. We used to go over to Homestead, and they had a market there. I would get mango, papayas, those things really, really cheap. Avocados, you know, they have a marketplace. And so between going and coming, I would, one day I ran it, I saw the sign that says organic strawberries, right? And then it also said organic mangoes, organic, you name the fruit. I said, wow, look at that. So we pulled in, and the strawberries were the most delicious ones I've ever tasted. The mangoes were outrageous. And so we made it a part of our trip. And actually, that's the reason why I would go, we would go there, is just fill up with these fruits. And then sometimes you had vegetables too. So it was really cool. And sometimes never made it to Homestead, because everything was right there to the market. Everything was right there. Anyway, I was doing my gardening thing right at home too. And my neighbors were happy with me. And I was expanding slowly. So yeah, I was always open to what is it they're doing to making all this stuff grow really well. So he said, okay, so... And he explained to me about compost, which I, at that time, you know, you can't make compost in your backyard. You know, they would say, what are you doing, buddy? Because that was the first time I really pretty much heard about compost, about biodynamic systems, you know, about being organic, you know, from this Mr. Ebersol. And he showed me a product that he was using. And it's still available today. And I don't know if I should mention to it or not. But it's because it's such a good product. And if I do mention it, guys, and you're one of the people who own the company, you need to get on my show. As a matter of fact, I'll mention it because I can use it as a way of saying, look, I got you on my show. I talked to you about my show, and now you need to get on it. Anyway, it's called Fertrell. Fertrell. Now, Fertrell is an interesting company. I think they're out of New York or somewhere along the East Coast. And I was actually meaning to call them and go through their website and order stuff from them. When I lived in Florida, it didn't cost as much as shipping it over here. And you can't really buy it locally. You have to get it from them. But it's really a blend of very similar, different types of rock dust, right? I don't have the total ingredients, but there are other things in there like crab meals, shells, a wide variety of stuff, right? It's crushed up. But the main thing I remember is that it had a variety of different rock dust, right? Right? And so he says, yeah, this is what I use on everything. And then he has all the organic fertilizers, which I don't remember. Oh, yeah, and it was another product, and it was called Nitron A35. And so he was using this product called Nitron A35, which I am still using to this day. And you can go to NitronA35.com. And as a matter of fact, the folks from Nitron A35 are going to be on as guests. And that's when I first heard of Nitron A35. I don't remember the year or anything, but it was like, let me see. No, that's not correct. No. So I got out of the service in 1970. That's when I heard of Nitron A35, because I would go back to see how Mr. Ebersole was doing, and of course he wasn't there anymore, died. But so I started looking more around stuff, and I found I read about Nitron A35, and I became a longtime user. I've been using it ever since. It's in my super seaweed, and say Ensign. It's done by Frank and Gay Finger, the people who started Nitron, and I used to go to their organic conference. Anyway, their fir trail was a rock dust sort. Oh, they also had green sand in it, so it had a nice blend of minerals, right? And because it had a bunch of different seaweed stuff in it, it had a bunch of different microbes in it as well. And Mr. Ebersole, he would learn how to make compost by using different types of animal manure, right? In the composting process. So there he has his microbes and his minerals. And that's the key to controlling this reticulum wilt or any other disease in the soil. Because remember, it's all soil-borne. So I tell people, the good guys and the bad guys, right? So what you do is you build up the good guys. You build up the good guy army, right? That's what you do. You stick the good guys on the bad guys. Right? So... And a lot of cases, you know, what happens is that when people call me, like this one place has, we already know it has it because he has somebody else come out and they tested it. Yeah, you had the reticulum weld. You should cut it out, get rid of it. The guy didn't believe him, so he had me, and I says, okay, I still have to test it because, you know, he may be wrong, or he may have just, you know, decided to do it, and I actually have a test. That happens a lot. So I'm in the process now of sending it off to be tested. But in the interim, I started treating it. And it's a video up there now. You can see it on YouTube or on my website. It shows Tank the turtle. But it's actually starting to come back, and I have to take to grow, you know. And it's possible it may have the disease. I still have to test it. But the point is that what I started to do was I started to reintroduce the microbiologics back into the soil. Because it's a turtle sanctuary, I can't really do what I want to do entirely. So I set up this tree vent system where you can make a tea. So what I did was I made a tea. Now, in the tea, I have super seaweed, which is a product of mine. I call it microbiological activator. And I will talk to you more about the super seaweed, what goes into it. I'm starting to do a series of videos as to what I put into super seaweed. But basically, I started making super seaweed in the sixth grade. And it's like making yogurt. I discovered this particular type of enzyme and microbe that I've been cultivating like yogurt over and over again. It loves to eat rock dust. It loves to eat minerals. I give it a blend of different types of rock dust, and I also provide a different type of blend of endo and ecto mycorrhiza, a wide range of bacteria, and a wide range of microbes goes into super seaweed. So I make a tea out of it at the same time and introduce, it depends what the type of plant is, some type of animal manure. So it depends on the plant. What it is for this particular tree, I would introduce he also happens on this person's property happened to have sheep, and it's perfect because they do a little poopoo. So sheep is a perfect type of manure to add because it's a high nitrogen cold manure fertilizer with the right microbes in it. So I would add that to the soil, and then I would add a wide variety of like I said microbes to this tea. Make it bubble it, so it energize it with more and more microbes, put it in a tree vent, and let it go into the soil. You have to do that for a few months in a row, but basically what you're doing is you're colonizing the new microbes in there. So what I do is I start what I call tree vents, and the tree vents are essential to the bringing back the biology to the soil. So I use clay drain pipes. Anyway, clay drain pipes. I started using clay drain pipes when I went to the Fayetteville, Arkansas Nitron conference. So when I as a speaker, I went to the Nitron conference, and one year at the conference, there was a guy named Phil Callahan, and he wrote a book called Tuning Into Nature. Oh, stop it. He wrote a book called Tuning Into Nature, several books, but the one in Tuning Into Nature is the one that we end up talking about, because when I gave the talk, there's a whole bunch of people there, and I talked about energy and how plants communicate, how there are ley lines in the earth, and it's just like acupuncture, but it's the soil, earth, instead of this body, how energy travels, and how I think what got it off was because I talk about cosmic gardening, and I talk about how a cosmic ray can shoot through the earth in a nanosecond. But what happens is that it doesn't just exactly go through without doing anything. It actually hits a bunch of – it could actually hit your DNA, but what happens is it gets absorbed by a wide variety of minerals. These minerals absorb these rays. That's one of the reasons why we want the minerals, because we want that particular – also that particular energy the ray gives off. Tuning Into Nature, he wrote a book about all these different places in England and over in Europe – that basically are called towers of power. A tower that goes up in the air a few hundred feet, and up there along the top, there's like a little door. And people used to think, well, that was done so that when the Vikings and bad guy would come, they would climb up in there, put the ladder up behind them, and nobody could touch them. And then when they leave, they'll come back down again. But Phil Callahan discovered that these things were made as an accumulator. Wilhelm Röhm, he did argon accumulator, and as a scientist, I can make all types of accumulator, but basically is organic and inorganic layered together so that, and then inside of it was crushed crystals, and if they're done at a certain level, it's a tuning fork. If you can hit it, it'll go boing. It sends off a certain frequency, but what happens is the cosmic rays, any cosmic rays that shoots through it gets absorbed into the system and then radiated out. And one of the things Phil Callahan observed was that these places were always green around them. There was luscious green grass growing all the way around it, but around the outside, further away, there's nothing, and cattle would go there to eat. And if what's going on over there? It must be good watering. Well, no, that's just as dry as everything. We don't water it, but there, look at that growing. And so that's nature's way, right, of putting the energy out. When we eat stuff, we really want to get this cosmic energy into our body, but you can't just stick your tongue out and eat it, nor can you chew on the iron or all the other different things. So we have evolved in a way to do that. So it's the same thing with the trees. So the thing with the reticulum wheel is I set up these clay. Anyway, at the Nitron conference, I was talking about this, and so And then he gave his talk, and he says, Andy, I'm gonna tell you something interesting too, because I had also talked about paramagnetism. See, because paramagnetism is a form of magnetic energy naturally found in nature, and it also happens to be a duplicate to our electromagnetic system, which is different than the magnetics. If you buy a pair of magnets, right, they have a north and south pole. The paramagnetism says paras, and so it's an entirely different setup, but it is electromagnetic waves, and it is, even though I was talking about paramagnetic energy, he started talking about that when they built these towers of powers, they became these paramagnetic absorbing rods, which gave me the idea of looking for paramagnetic clay. And then I found this place. They're locally here in Santa Monica that sell. You're gonna love this. Basically, they're clay drain pipes, right? In Malibu, they're called wine holders, right? So the clay they're using is paramagnetic. You can take that and crush it. You see, it's full of little different types of minerals in it. Isn't that cool or what? So all you have to do, also what I do is I buy the clay drain pipes. I call them tree vents. In my first book on how to heal trees and stuff, I tell people how to use tree vents for controlling pests and stuff. So when I first started doing this, I still do. I believe in repelling and making it uncomfortable for pests and disease. I believe in being proactive rather than reactive. So I believe in making things healthier, so healthy the bugs can't handle it. So the tree vents are that basis to do that. And I used to call it TGM plus, where you take tobacco and garlic, and the manure is the M, and the plus is a rock dust. You make a poultice of it, you put it in the tree vents. The tree vents are basically at 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 12 o'clock around the tree, halfway out between the tree trunk and the drip line. I have a lot to say, okay? And I'm sure if Mr. Engineer says I have to go, he'll give me a warning sign. Otherwise, I'm going to keep talking until I'm done. Anyways, it's out by the drip line. It's between the drip line and the trunk at the locations I told you to. You put a clay drain pipe or tree vent. Usually they're about maybe at the minimum 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet is better that they can go down. 2 feet is actually perfect. And inside the pipes, what you do is you do this mixture. It depends. If your tree is being attacked by a tree borer, some pest like that, you have to immediately deal with the problem. That's a short-term solution. So if a certain bug is attacking the tree, you want to be able to deal with that bug like right away, because it's going to take a while to get the tree back in shape again. And doctors do that. You know, if you get attacked by a disease or something, they give you something that's supposed to get rid of the disease. At the same time, hopefully they're doing something to help you get stronger and healthier. So the tree vents are important aspect of this whole controlling the reticulum wilt or any other type of disease, as well as controlling other pests, you know, whether it be bark beetle or whatever attacking a tree. Because instead of putting tobacco, garlic, and the compost in there, I have evolved over the years. It says, look, just forget about the tobacco and garlic. Just make it a colony for the microbiologicals. Use a nice rock dust blend, because you want to have a wide source of minerals. Not all rock dusts have everything you need. You get a blend of different rock dusts, so they'll have different types of minerals content. I use one rock dust source from South California, 30% calcium. Calcium is more important than nitrogen. I get another rock dust source from Failure, Arkansas. This is from Nitron Company. They have this glacial rock dust. I get an azomite rock dust. I get cascade rock dust. It's called Nature's Footprint. Hi, guys. They're going to be on as a guest. They're going to be on as a guest, because they sell all types of rock dust. And so they're sending me all the varieties that they have, along with a label as to what the name is. And then I'm also getting the information, you know, what trace metals they each have. It's called Nature's Footprint. Visit them, naturesfootprint.com. Tell them you can't wait to hear of Nature's Footprint on my radio show. What you want to do is you want to have a blend of rock dust along with a blend of microbes and a really good live compost. The compost needs to be made with some type of animal manure in it, okay? And ideally, when you make the compost, that's when you add the rock dust to it. When you're in the process of making the compost, the best thing is to add the rock dust to the process of making the compost. You learn to add just the right amount. So like you're making compost, you know, you learn to add too much rock dust, it's no longer trace minerals. You need to add smaller amount. I read somewhere that this guy added 50 pounds of rock dust to a raised bed, and then he said everything died. And he says his conclusion was that rock dust was bad. I think 5 pounds would have been almost too much, okay? I would have done a pound of rock dust to that raised bed. And then, you know, the rock dust is supposed to be broken down over a period of time, so you add it a little bit throughout the years. And what you do now is available next season. So the key is to make the tree vents, right, as a microbiological city, a little colony in there. I talk a lot about mushrooms, okay? And people call me up, Andy, you must do a lot of psilocybin mushrooms. Well, and they're joking, of course, but mushrooms do grow in there, in the mycelium. Just the other day, I was at a customer's place, and there they were, little mushrooms growing. Not necessarily psilocybin, but these are organic, I was going to say organic, but they're edible mushrooms because when I buy the spores, you can't buy the psilocybin mushroom spores, but you can. That's another story. But I buy the spores from various different places, and I am going to, as a matter of fact, talk about them. Get them to be on my show. I think what I'll do is next. I'm looking to see if I can come up with the name of the spore place before I forget. Because they're really cool place. I buy one of my sources of, not necessarily spore. Yeah, it's a spore, but my mycorrhiza from them, you know. So it's called Myco Farming Supply at Earth Tongue. They have the same folks. Earth Tongue is really cool for this. And I also, there also is a another spore company that I buy from that have a wide variety of mushrooms that are edible, you know, to eat. And so the spores are very good to grow on your property. I try to bring back the natural, to grow the natural spores that are already found in that environment. But it's very difficult to actually do that when you have a homeowner that has a property that is nowhere, nothing like it on Earth. So you can't, and then they have plants from all around the world, you know, growing in the same environment. So what you want to do is you want to put a drip system in there, 2 gallons per hour ahead. Ideally, what you need to do with a drip system is you want to filter it out. You want to filter out the water. You want to use a fertigation unit. Fertigation means it's a mixture of fertilizer and irrigation, so it's called a fertigation unit. Plugs into your water line, which the drip system plugs into that. Inside of here, you can have your biologicals, so you can make compost tea. You can have the so that the biologicals go out through the drip line and into the vent, or you can have the nutritional sources like just regular seaweed, for example, right? Like the compost tea is the easiest. You just take a little bit of your compost, put it in that pantyhose, put it in the pressurized unit, and then you do it. Then it goes out through the drip line. You just need to replace that regularly. So inside of the tree vents is where you want to have your mycelium growing. And so what I did was I would buy, you know, from various different companies their mycelium that they sell to grow on logs. You find there's lots of them on there on the market now. And again, I'll get some guests. These are some of the people I want to have, like Paul Stemmett. I can't get him on. I'm trying to, because he talks about mushrooms a lot and how to grow them. He sells them. So I'd like to maybe work something out. Paul, come on. We'll talk about your stuff. And it's like free advertising. or if for example, Mr. Engineer here, he has. And I heard he's going into the mushroom log selling business, because he this is what he does on his property. He grows the mushrooms himself, and he has the mycelium. And one of these, I talked to him. He was on my show not too long ago. We were talking about how healthy this place is. And he needs, Don, you need to get a refractometer, because I give him a reading of their plants so I can see what's going on over there. It'd be really cool. But that's what you do, okay? And if you succeed in bringing the, because that's what I would suggest you to Don, is to set up a tree vent and see if you can make the mushrooms grow in the soil in that tree vent environment. I usually put a little green grater around it, and you'll be surprised how mushrooms will be popping up all over the place. And if you open it up, you look inside, you'll see the mycelium full, be rich in mycelium. And if you establish that, what happens is the mycelium vein will go out throughout your property, which slowly spread out throughout your property. And ideally, you don't have to put it under the trees. You start placing them around your property, different areas. Because one of these tree vents, one of these colonizations, right, will do a good area. And so the more you have, and they'll be connected to their drip line, so make sure they get water. You don't want them to dry out. Eventually, you don't need to worry about it. They're totally alive, and you have your drip system. You're taking care of the place. You don't need to deal with that. So it's initially to get them started. And you'll find that by doing that, it will knock out the reticulum wilt. It will knock out any diseases. And at the same time, it will increase the mineral availability of your trees. If you increase the mineral availability of your trees, their Brix level will shoot up. You know, it will go higher and higher and higher. and no pests. No, the reticulum disease will not survive in this environment. Hey, see what I'm saying? Right? You follow it? Oh boy, you people, I don't know. Really, right? Uh-oh.
Attention gardeners, how would you like to learn how to get rid of unwanted pests like ants and mosquitoes without using harmful pesticides? With the growing concern about West Nile virus, killer bees, and the use of synthetic pesticides, there is a better way. Go to www.invisiblegardener.com. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, provides alternatives to chemical products using natural ingredients you may already have at home. Do you have gardening questions or problems? Get the help you need at www.invisiblegardener.com. Join the Invisible Gardeners of America and take their online gardening classes. The Invisible Gardener has helped gardeners since 1972, and he can help you too. Visit www.invisiblegardener.com. You can talk directly to him about your gardening questions right here on The Invisible Gardener every Saturday morning. And you can reach Andy Lopez, The Invisible Gardener, anytime at www.invisiblegardener.com. Check it out on the website. That's www.invisiblegardener.com. www.invisiblegardener.com.
Hi, this is Andy. Make sure you go to Invisible Gardener. That's GARDENER.com. Thank you. Bye.
I coughed today. Sorry about that.
Whenever I visit Earth, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
I had to throw that in. I couldn't help it. So remember, next week, I have I'll be rebroadcasting my interview on the Entrepreneur Way with Neil. Neil Bells, B-E-L-L-S, Entrepreneur Way. So they interviewed me and wanted to know what the heck are you all about and how are you're so successful, right? So I think I have more time, Mr. Engineer. I can't tell. It looks like it's. It's almost that time. Should I go now? Because I could do this. Hang on. So this song is called Love, Live, Love Again. It's inner gardening music, by the way. Low, huh? Laughing out loud? This is called Love, Live, Love Again. Thank you very much for listening to my show. Next week I'll be on my doing the interview that they did with the Entrepreneur Way. The following week, since I don't have any guests lined up for July, if you feel you have what it takes to be a guest, and you email me, we can talk. But I'll be doing more natural tree care. I'll be talking about natural ant control, natural vegetable gardening. Visit my website, invisiblegardener.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known as the Invisible Gardener. Are you sick and tired of using chemicals that pollute yourself, your family, your pets? Listen to my radio show every Saturday afternoon right here on bbsradio.com. Call me and we can talk. And let me help you, too, do it 100% organically. Bye now.
Okay, everybody. I guess I'm going to go now. All right, Mr. Engineer, pull the plug.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.